mystery, Dr. X, about to present the 16th in a series of dramatic explorations into the vast and unknown labyrinth of the human mind. Tonight, our guest is the internationally known dramatic star, Miss Florence Reed. The story I have chosen is a somewhat weird and spine-chilling narrative of a woman who unwisely looked beyond the shadow of the grave. Creep by night, through your master of mystery, presents Florence Reed as Sister Southgate in The Three Sisters. As you look north, fishing village of Elmsport, the New England coast is wild and desolate, save for a huge, weather-beaten house that stands like a gray shadow between the salt marshes and the shifting sand dunes. It was built in 1836 by Captain David Southgate, and strange stories have been told about it. None stranger, perhaps, than the story of the three Southgate sisters, which came to the surface one dark, stormy night when Dr. Tennant was hurriedly summoned from the village by Julia, youngest of the maiden ladies. The seas had been running high for days, and the tide was creeping over the marshes, and the doctor mounted the steps of the ancient house and knocked on the heavy open door.
I'll take your coat,
Doctor. Something should be done about that road across the marsh. It's a foot deep in water. Twice my car stalled. I thought I'd never get out. Thank you.
The county road commissioner won't do a thing about it. There's not enough people
to
use the road.
Good reason why. Can't for the life of me understand why you three women don't move into the village. Who's sick?
Amanda.
What's wrong with her?
She thinks she's dying.
What do you mean, she thinks she's dying?
Well, she took the bed Wednesday and doing all the things. One of us had to be with her every minute, night and day. Hester's with her now.
Well, what does she complain of? Girl, fever?
No, nothing like that, Doctor. The reason I called you is because earlier this evening she said tonight was the night Mother was coming for her to take her to the grave.
That's all ridiculous nonsense.
Well, Amanda believes it, and so does Hester. She believes that the last Southgate to die always returns to lead the next one to the grave. Mother was the last.
Yeah, let's have a look at her.
So, this way, Doctor. She's in the room at the head of the stairs.
How can you stand it here nights with that foghorn blowing and that wind wailing enough to drive a person out of his mind?
Oh, it's not so bad, really. You become accustomed to it. And here we are. Dr. Tennant, here, Hester.
Oh, I'm glad. Hello, Doctor.
Good evening, Hester.
Close the door, Julia.
Is it great snow?
Amanda, the doctor's here.
It's no use, Doctor. You can't help me. Mother is coming for me tonight. That's what she's been saying all day, Doctor.
Julia, please.
How do you know that your mother is coming for you tonight, Amanda?
She tells me. She was here early this morning before dawn, dressed in her burial clothes. She said she was taking me because I'm the eldest. She said that Aunt Julia needn't worry.
Hand me my stethoscope out of that bag and please, Julia.
Yes, Doctor. Oh, here you are.
Thank you. All right, now, just relax, Amanda.
No use. No use at all.
I know, but I'd still like to examine you. All right, deep breath now. Once more. That's fine. Can you turn over on your back?
I'll help you, dear.
It's no use, I tell you. Mother is coming for me tonight.
Then don't bother her, Hester. Come out.
You see? Dr. Tennant knows. Even he knows I'm going to die. Yes, dear Doctor.
I'll talk to you outside, Julia. Keep her warm, Hester, and see that she gets some sleep. Come, Julia. Goodbye, Miss Amanda.
Goodbye, Doctor. Goodbye forever.
Oh, Amanda, dear.
Come along, Julia.
Yes, Doctor.
don't have to bother coming downstairs with me, Julia. I can tell you everything I've got to tell you right here on the landing.
And she terribly sick, Doctor.
She won't die tonight or any other night for some time to come. Her heart is sound as a dollar, considering her age.
But the way she feels and looks and the things she says.
Imagination. Humor her for the rest of the night, and in the morning when she awakens and finds herself alive, she'll be quite all right.
Oh, no, I hope so.
I know that she will. As a matter of fact, you worry me more than Amanda does.
I?
Yes. I don't like those circles under your eyes and the drawn cheeks. Here, hold still a minute. Listen to your heart.
Oh, I'm all right.
Yes, I know, but you've always had a weak heart. Now, take a deep breath. Then?
Nothing wrong, Mister.
Nothing serious, but you've still got that heart murmur, and running up and down these stairs won't help any.
Oh, I don't do much running, really.
Well, first don't you get come into the village and let me check you over. Lord, I wish I could convince the three of you that you'd better off living in the village. But I suppose it's hopeless. See that Amanda gets some nourishing food tomorrow, and call me if she doesn't improve.
Yes, Doctor, I will.
Good night, Julia.
Good night, Doctor. And thank you. Your coat's in the hall closet.
I know, I get it. Good night.
Good night.
God, don't you talk, Doctor, please.
Oh, I'm glad.
What did the doctor say?
That's what I thought he would. There's nothing the matter with him, Amanda. Absolutely nothing. It's all imagination.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, now, listen, Hester. We're grown women, both of us. We must be sensible. He knows well as I do that no one's coming to lead us to the grave. Now, time comes, we will die like other people do.
You don't remember the night our mother passed away, do you? You don't recall what she said on her deathbed?
Oh, but you know well enough that poor mother wasn't quite right in her mind.
Really, you've no cause to say that.
Well, she doesn't even know it. That's why I argue about it. Dr. Tennant says Amanda will wake him tomorrow morning and find herself alive and forget all about it.
Dr. Tennant doesn't know.
Well, he knows enough to tell whether she's sick or not. Ten o'clock. Well, you stay with her till 2. I'll try to get some sleep in the meantime.
All right, dear. I'll wake you too.
Julia! Julia, wake up!
Oh, what is it, Hester? Is it time?
No, it's only midnight. I'll have to go to sleep. I woke up about a minute ago and...
What, Hester?
Julia, Amanda's dead.
No. No, Hester.
Julia, what's the matter with you? Julia, speak to me. Open your eyes. Julia!
Julia, is that it's about time you came down to the office for a complete examination.
Oh, I've tried and tried to get her to come, Dr. Tennant.
Oh, now,
well, you know I have, and in a way it was hard, what with Amanda's funeral and all.
That's something I'll never understand, Amanda's death.
I understand it.
We won't go into that again, Hester. Well, Julia, you're in pretty fair shape. Only don't go getting any more shocks and fainting spells like you did the night Amanda died.
Well, that was my fault, Doctor. I should have known better than a stopper for Julia.
Don't be silly.
Well, I should have.
Tell me, when are you two moving into the village?
Why should we move into the village? Doesn't cost us a penny to live in a Southgate house.
I will not just waste money for the privilege of living in the village, and that's fine.
That old barn that you call a house isn't fit to live in.
Just the same, it's our home. Grandfather Southgate built it when he meant for the Southgates to live in it. You may do as you please, Julia, but I am staying there.
You know very well, Hester, that I wouldn't for one moment let you live there alone. So don't tell me I may do as I please.
Well, all I've got to say is that you're making a big mistake. You can't live like hermits. You've got to get out and see people. If you don't, I'm warning you, you'll get yourself into the same state Amanda was in. And maybe with the same result.
Only a matter of $2 or $3.
Only $2 or $3. Well, you talk as if we had millions.
We have enough.
Yes, enough for ourselves. but not enough to feed a lot of worthless people in the village.
There are people in the village who need help and must have charity. And I'm working with the Reverend Evans to give them as much help as I can.
Peter, I believe you've lost your mind.
Oh, stop it, Hester. Well, you know it, you'll be taking the money out of the bank and counting it, dollar by dollar, over and over again.
I'll do something, you can be sure. You call it nonsense doesn't make it so.
Oh, well, Hester. Oh, for heaven's sake, don't get into the state of mind Amanda was in.
What do you mean?
I don't like to say it, but Amanda wasn't quite herself before she died.
Oh, yes.
Oh, she wasn't. All that talk of coming back for us and leading us to the grave. The dead are dead, you know it.
Then how did Amanda die? Dr. Kenneth just told you himself there wasn't the slightest reason for her dying. But she did. She had the word that Mother was coming for her, and that's what happened. Now, fiddlestick.
Oh, Hester, where in the world did you get this poor thread? I declare to goodness it breaks every time I pull on it.
Same thread of all of you.
Sorry, Hester, but this lamp tickets too much to sew by. Tomorrow, when I'm in town, I'll buy a new chimney and some decent thread.
And what else?
Anything else I decide might make life a little pleasanter. Well, I'm going up to bed. Good night, Hester.
Good night.
Who is it? Who's in my room? I said, Hester, is it you? Answer me. What sort of nonsense is this, Hester? Oh, all right, if you want to make me get out of bed, huh? Get out of bed. Now, Hester, what's the meaning of... Amanda!
Not Amanda. These aren't burial clothes I'm wearing. These were torn cheeks you wouldn't work on this evening. And I put my hair up the way Amanda used to wear hers. Have you only fainted, Julia? Or was the shock too great? Let me see. Was too much of a shock, wasn't it? Your eyes are open and you're not breathing. I'm going to leave you right where you are until morning. Too bad you won't be able to buy a new lamp chimney or sewing thread or anything you decide might make life a little pleasanter. Isn't necessary anymore. And you know why? Because you're dead, Julia dear. You're dead.
She went to bed about 8, Hester?
Yes, Doctor. She complained of not feeling well.
And you found her on the floor this morning?
Yes. Such a shock.
Yes, I can imagine. Chances are she had a heart attack, tried to get out of bed, and collapsed on the floor.
Oh,
now, pull yourself together, Hester. This is bound to happen sooner or later. Would you like me to arrange for the undertaker?
Yes, please, Doctor.
Nowadays, they handle everything from start to finish, and quite reasonably, too.
How reasonably? As I recall, Lander's funeral was quite expensive.
No, I'd say $150 should cover it.
$150?
Well, that includes the coffin and the burial clothes, and I think a small headstone. Suppose you let me worry about it.
I don't see the need for anyone worrying about it. $150? Why, it's outrageous. All that money just to bury a person. I certainly will not spend it. Matter of fact, I'm sure Ginger wants the funeral right here from the house.
Suit yourself, Esther. I should think you'd want someone to take care of things for you, but go on, find your own coffin and burial clothes and headstone. I suppose the Reverend Evans will take care of the service.
Of course he will. Probably without charge, after all Julia did for the church. $150.
All right, forget it. I'll send a man up to embalm the body. Got to do that, public health law. Don't worry, though. Only cost $10.
Can I tell the Reverend I'll be down to see him this afternoon?
All right. Good day, Hester. Good day.
Julia, Dr. Tennant's gone. You didn't hear what she said, did you, dear?
Of course not.
You're dead. But I'd still like you to know that the Southgate money is not going to be wasted on an expensive funeral. You'll be buried right from the house. Not only is he cheaper, but much nicer. I'm going into town now to see the Reverend Evans about leaving the service. I'll be there before dark.
As far as I am concerned, Miss Hector, it makes little difference whether Miss Julia's funeral is conducted from the house or the church is in the village.
I'm quite sure you wouldn't mind, Reverend. I've already arranged to have a coffin built. She will lie in it just for the burial clothes I'll submit for her. The coffin will be in the parlor where people can come and see her if they wish.
Very well, Miss Hector. Shall we say the day after tomorrow for the funeral? The
day after tomorrow will be very nice, Reverend.
Shall we say 10 o'clock in the morning?
10 o'clock will be marvelous. Are you all right, dear? I heard the rain beating against the window, so I got up to see how you were resting. In your coffin. It's a lovely coffin, don't you think? Old Caleb made it for me. Didn't you know Caleb seriously? He only charged $10. And do you know what that undertaker wanted? 35, can you imagine? Tomorrow's funeral, you know, dear. I shudder when I think of all those strange people tramping through the house, but I suppose it stands for help. Good heavens, what was that? In the door of my bedroom, room coming your chat. I hope the storm does let up before morning, Julia. I'm going to leave this lamp burning at the foot of your coffin here. It doesn't use much oil. And it's so much nicer to have a little light. I'll be down. Bright and early in the morning, too. Who's there? I see your hand on the doorknob. Who is it? Anthony. All right, I'll find out for myself.
Good evening, Hester. You didn't expect to see me, did you, Hester?
Oh,
but it is.
A man.
Yes, your sister, Amanda. You better close the parlor door. There's a draft blowing through the hall, and it's making the oil lamp flicker.
Where
did you come? Well, how are you, Hester?
Amanda,
isn't it warm? Yes, of course. It's a bad night out. The grave was wet and cold. Tell me, Hester, what kind of a coffin did you get for Julia?
Oh, now I remember. You told us you come for the next one to go. You come for Julia.
Answer my question. What kind of a coffin did you get? I know something about coffins, Hester. And that one doesn't look very good to me.
It was built specially, Amanda.
Let me look at it. Just as I thought, you never could bring yourself to spend an extra nickel. Could you, Hester? This coffin will be full of water the first stormy night. And where did you get the burial clothes?
Oh, I made them myself. Oh, honey, it's you, Amanda. It's brand new material.
Cotton. How do you expect anyone to keep warm in cotton?
I couldn't afford anything better, Amanda. Oh, you've no idea what you've been up to since you died and left us the Southgate money. She was spending it like water.
Oh, you murdered Julia to keep her from spending Southgate money.
That's what
he said. Don't lie. It's a mean question. I can see right through
you. Julia died of heart failure. Dr. Cummings was here. Everyone knows what happened.
Oh. Everyone doesn't. But I do. You frightened Julia to death.
And the note.
Yes, you did. You frightened her to death because you wanted to Southgate money for yourself. You didn't want the expense.
What else could I do, Amanda? The money was left in cash. This is your money.
I left it to both of you equally.
But you were squandering it, throwing it away.
Are you carried out? You murdered your own.
No, don't say it like that, Amanda. You frightened. Yes.
You are?
Yes. If you came for Julia, take her and go.
I didn't come for Julia. Julia's dead. I came for you.
No. No, I don't want to die.
I'll leave you to the bedroom. It's much nicer dying.
What will happen to the suffering money if I die, Amanda? I've been so careful of it. You know what I did.
What?
I threw the money out of the bank this morning. Every penny of it. I've dumped it in my room where I can watch it. That's how careful I am. But if I die, Amanda, they'll find it. They'll turn it over to the county poor. People we never heard of will be spending it.
You wouldn't want
that, Amanda.
You learn, Hester, that money means nothing beyond the grave. Come with me.
No, no. Let go, my wrist. Let go. Let go, friend.
Carry on, man. You're not at all.
Don't think back on it. One of them looks as though it's not just been buried. for a long time.